And we're thrilled today to have a guest as well with us. We've got our friend Carl coming. You've seen from the flyers, it might be the thing that's brought you in. We're looking at this question of, can self-help really save us? So Carl's coming to do a short interview about his story, his experience of the self-help movement, and what he's found, who he has found, really saves, and that is the Lord Jesus. So Carl, you've actually stepped out of your day of work for this. So tell us a bit about yourself. What were you doing this morning at work, and where are you?
Yeah, hey everyone, so I worked in Oxford Circus, and I kind of worked with a Christian organisation that would do public policy work, activism, and kind of helped to set up Christian educational initiatives, do stuff in the media. So yeah, this morning I was getting this emails to Venus and had a meeting as well, an interview. So yeah, but I do AI training, getting the organisation on board using that technology, and also sort of speaking style communications. Yeah, quite very
great. I'm really grateful for you coming to share with us today. So it'd be great just to dive straight into your story and starting with, I guess, at the beginning, and tell us about yourself as growing up in the world that you were growing up in, and the influences that your childhood and the world you grew up in had on you.
Yeah, no, of course. So, yeah, I mean, like most people, I was actually born in South Africa. And then I moved to the UK when I was about 4 years old, just me, my mum, my dad, and my younger brother. And I mean, by all accounts, at the start of my life was pretty normal, apart from that movie. But when I was about 7 years old, my younger brother, Adam, he started getting headaches. And, you know, we just assumed it was quite normal to begin with. And then it just got worse and worse. And, you know, eventually we took him to hospital. And unfortunately, we were diagnosed with a brain cancer. And fast forward 6 weeks, and I was in there in the hospital with him, you know, saying my final goodbyes to him. And, you know, very, very sudden, very, very unexpected. And, you know, really that moment in my childhood led me down a very, very dark path, and my family, I would say, as well. So, you know, I looked at my parents and how they dealt with that situation. Obviously, an incredibly painful situation to lose a child. And, you know, basically, they dealt with it by not dealing with it, and just saw them trying to escape the reality of what happened. And as a young child, looking at how they dealt with the pain and bad situations in life, I kind of adopted that method of escapism as my modus operandi, and that's the kind of behaviours that carry me through life. And so, grew up very, very broken, really, lots of depression, anxiety, you know, going through the mental health system, trying all these different things, and yeah, and then I would say when I got into my late teens, that's when my mood started to kind of go downhill, and you know, those destructive but more manageable addictions to technology and things like that ended up, you know, descending into more dangerous ones like drugs and alcohol.
Thanks for being so honest with us and sharing that. As you were facing so much of those challenges, those difficulties growing up, and sort of alluding to different ways in which you were trying to cope with that, as you say, technology, alcohol, drugs, and seeing that in your parents as well as in yourself. As you were trying to cope with those needs, what were you hoping might change? And how are you hoping those coping mechanisms might help you with these difficulties?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's probably worth saying that I didn't grow up in a Christian family, so my parents aren't Christians, still aren't Christians, unfortunately. And so I know I really was convinced that there was no God, there was no afterlife, etc., etc. So I guess I didn't have something like that to hope in. But, you know, in terms of why I ran into these things to gain some level of support for drugs, alcohol, technology, that type of thing, you know, it's more unconscious, really. You know, when from such a young age you're programmed to deal with an uncomfortable situation by not dealing with it and running away, that's just how you believe you should deal with life, and that those kind of patterns of your heart go quite deep. And so it wasn't a rational thing, like, oh, okay, well, I feel this, and now I want to do this. It's very kind of unconscious, very subconscious, and yeah, that was who I became.
And as you encountered more of these difficulties, what then led you to go towards the self-help movement? How was that? I hope that might change things for you as well.
Yeah, so I would say that when I was about 20 years old, and basically I had a little gap year to figure out. I went traveling for like 100 days, typical kind of British student type thing. And I mean, I remember being out there, I was like out of the 95 of the 100 days I was there. I mean, just getting up to all sorts of absolute chaos. But I ended up going to university. But I remember in my second term, I had just barely gone in to university, just so consumed and addicted and enslaved to so many different bad habits. And it was at that point that I realized that I really needed to stop. During the entire time of using drugs and drinking for that lifestyle, I didn't want to quit, but I was just instantly enslaved to the pleasure and feelings that those things provided me. But it was kind of when I was 20 that I was like, something needs to change. And, you know, like any new Gen Z, I just went on YouTube to see what solutions they find there. And, you know, all the things that I was introduced to as potential solutions were self-help. So I didn't find anything Christian on there. And so I just really got into the world of personal development, meditation, yoga, the new age, some of these psychedelic drugs and that. And I remember doing some of these practices, the meditation, the reading self-help, and you know, I was actually feeling better. I kind of went from 0 out of 10 to 2 out of 10. So I concluded that if I just kept going on this path, I'd eventually be able to kind of reach a 10 out of 10 and find healing, and everything would be okay.
And you come with this question for us today: can self-help really save? What did you find? Is it the thing you're here to promote to say that it saved you?
No, I'm not, and you know, I guess it depends on what you mean by saying. It can you go into some of these self-help practices and you know be a bit better and maybe become a bit more disciplined? Yeah, sure. You know, there's a reason that these things are quite popular because you know if you're in a culture that you're so consumed with all this different stimulus and you withdraw from that for 15 minutes a day and focus on your breathing, you're gonna feel better. But like I said, it can take you from 0 out of 10, but it really can't take you to the higher planes and really dig you out of a deep hole if you are in trouble. And so, I mean, I really went deep down this rabbit hole. I mean, I spent thousands of hours researching this, finding this, you know, doing hypnotherapy, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. every day, cold showers, all these crazy powerful psychedelic drugs as well that have gained some popularity. Meditation retreats, one of them was 10 days of silence, meditating for 10 hours a day. I mean, that reading all these self-help books, psychotherapy type stuff. I mean, I was that guy, basically. And, yeah, I found that there was partial relief that was provided in different seasons, and I could kind of present myself better, I could understand even my past better. But my heart never really changed. I could just never quite get myself out of the hole that I found myself in.
Which might have been, I imagine, quite a confronting thing to realise that there was a much deeper issue in the other half of it. Where did you turn after that, having invested so much time and energy and effort into self-help and not finding a way out? Where did you go after that?
Yeah, so it was probably about 5 years into this self-help, personal development journey, really dedicating everything to this, really trying super hard to read everything and apply everything. And I was basically a worse alcoholic than I was to begin with. I mean, at this point, I was drinking at my worst, a liter of whiskey a day by myself, drink driving every night, picking up drugs. I mean, I was just really not in a good way. And I just couldn't understand why that is. You know, I was doing everything that anyone would say to do to heal in the modern world and from many different kind of worldviews and modalities, and I was just pretty hopeless. And then I had kind of a mentor who ended up becoming a Christian, and you know, wasn't a Christian, but I met him, and he ended up telling me about the Bible and Jesus, and I kind of, at the first, I was like, great, like another self-help tool, I'll look at this book and see what tips it has to help me out, and yeah, I was very wrong about the assumptions I had about
Yeah, so what was it about the Christian faith that intrigued you? And as you went about exploring it, I presume it has something to do with then reading the Bible, as you say, thinking you might find more self-help tips, reading it in the manual. What did you find instead? What intrigued you as you encountered and examined the things about Jesus?
Yeah, I would probably say a few different things. I think one, what the Bible says about sin, and you know, in this self-help industry, personal development, worldview, and in the modern culture, the fundamental assumption of our human beings is that we're basically good, and we have like a little bit of bad stuff, and we need to chip out, and then we're fine. And through my own experience of trying to be a better person morally, I just could see that that was not true, and also my assessment of the world around me. I mean, that's quite clear. So I think the Bible actually talking about sin, I had no Christian education, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, so to see that it was making that assessment about human nature, I thought this is really powerful stuff, and was matching what I was seeing about myself. So I think it was Jesus as well. I do think that, you know, every redeemable thing about the self-help industry, I think Christ encapsulates all of that in terms of morality, in terms of virtue. And so it was just taken about by him, you know, that was probably the main thing. And to be honest, I think for me, I was trying to be a better person as well. I wasn't just trying to get rich, I was trying to like morally improve, be kinder, that type of thing. And I could just see how hard it was to really improve morally, be a better person. And, you know, to understand more about the history of the Christian faith, although, you know, faith hasn't been perfect, all the movement hasn't been perfect. You know, it has brought about all of these big moral paradigm shifts that have led to so many blessings for women, for children, for orphans, for widows, for medicine, for education, for every area you think of. It's been this one group of people who have pioneered things morally, and for me that was proof that it's supernatural, because I know how hard it is to become a better person morally, and so to see a civilization that kind of done that tremendously, consistently. That was convincing.
And as you experience this and know this truth about Jesus for you, that your sins can be forgiven from him and through him, what is life like now that you've come to know Jesus, believed in him, found that he is the one who can save and has saved you? Just tell us more what life looks like now for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot better, I can say that. By God's grace, I no longer drink, completely sober. You know, like I said, I was a serious alcoholic, drinking legal whiskey a day by myself, drink driving every night. You know, I mean, my heart was in very dark places during that season. And generally, 2 months after picking up the Bible, was sober, you know, haven't drunk since. I can be around alcohol and not even have the thought in my mind that this is something I want. I mean, it's been supernaturally taken away. That's not something everyone can say, so I'm really glad that God has chosen to do that in my heart. But so I would say that's a massive one. The addiction's gone, which just destroyed my life for so long. But also, I mean, thousands of hours invested in that self-help, and the change I saw within my own character shortly after becoming a Christian, was just so dramatic. I remember being working at this place, and I was working at this place, working in a Christian, and just like the shock of how different I was because of what God had done in me, and just, you know, he's just radically transformed my character and my heart in a just completely supernatural way. And that is not something that you see in the self-help industry in the same way as something I saw, and in many people in that industry, you do not see the type of radical transformations within that space that you do see within the Christian world, but not even close.
Clark, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And you're going to hang around for a little bit after this, and so people want to come and chat to you more, ask you more questions about your story, then yeah, please do come and find Clark and you chat with him. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to this story. We all come with our own stories, don't we, that will be different from one another. But there may be many things that Carl's spoken about that have resonated with you. Whether it is some experiences of struggling with grief and trying to numb the pain of that. Perhaps it is the burden of the pressure and stress to succeed and keep up with ambition here in the city. Or maybe trying to escape your own cycles of failure and unsuccessful efforts to change when you notice those things speaking to you that you wish weren't true of you. If anything has resonated with you, whether you consider yourself skeptical or curious about what Carl shared, and particularly about the claims he's made about Jesus, I want to invite you to do something with that skepticism and curiosity today. Carl, you spoke about your skepticism initially from your mentor becoming a Christian, that then grew into curiosity and it led you to exploring the Christian faith. That involved getting a hold of a story about the life of Jesus, getting a hold of the Bible, and examining what Jesus said and did, and how he offers that to the world, and to see whether you could be persuaded that it was all true and how it could change your life. So I'd love to extend an invitation to do the same, to ask if you come today with skepticism or curiosity, have you ever read the Bible as an adult? Have you really considered the stories about Jesus, what he is teaching, what he is doing? And particularly his claims about himself and what he can do for you. And so for our final minute, I'd love us to start doing that, to start there. And if you grab a Bible in the middle of the tables, I'd love us to begin with the beginning of Luke's Gospel, that's one of the historical accounts of Jesus' life. And then Luke introduces us to Jesus. You can turn with me to page 857. At the start of this account about Jesus' life, there's a song that announces his birth. You'll see in verse 76 on the previous page, Jesus is referred to as the one who will be the Most High, the one who is Lord. And then from verse 77 at the top of page 857, it said that his arrival will give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And that as he brings his knowledge of what our salvation really is, he will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As Carl shared in his own story, there are many places we can go looking for peace, a sense of direction where things are heading. And if your experience is like Carl's, finding that these offers of salvation, these things that offer to save, actually really fall short of saving you from that deeper problem of sin, why not look for Jesus? Because sin is a problem, as Carl has shared with us. Sin of a problem of a life lived without God, a life apart from him. And so Jesus, when he arrives, is bringing this promise to lead us in the way of peace. A way that is a promise to bring us back to a relationship with God, at peace with our Creator. Not because of anything we can do to fix ourselves up for him, we would have no hope because of the weight and the depth of our sin, as we've been talking about. But it's possible because of all that Jesus has done for us. That is what we find as we read through the account of his life, his death and his resurrection. It's a story that shows we cannot save ourselves, and so he came, the Son of God, to save us through the forgiveness of our sins, the thing that only he can offer. Carl has spoken so helpfully now of how that offer of peace with God has transformed his life and brings the promise of eternal life to come with God, save from the judgment that our sin really deserves. Is that something you feel that you need? Perhaps because things that Carl has spoken about have resonated with you today. Well then please, why not look for Jesus? You can take home a copy of Luke's Gospel, just this short book of the Bible, there are copies at the back and of the room here. Why not take that home and keep reading further? In it you'll read about what Jesus said and did. All that shows himself as the one who truly saves us from darkness and death through the forgiveness of our sins. So those copies are a free gift from us. Then invite you, why don't you swap a copy of the Metro or the City Paper on your train home and read it then. Or swap it for doom scrolling on Instagram before you go to bed tonight. What if in reading the account of Jesus' life you find the knowledge that you need? The knowledge to know purpose, meaning and direction. The knowledge to know salvation. The way to know if there is any more to your life than the world that we're living in. The way to know forgiveness of sins. The light of those who sit in darkness. It's the way to know peace. Peace with ourselves, with each other. And most importantly, peace with God. And so that first step, like Carl has shown us, would be to read more of the Bible and examine its claims. So there's one invitation to take home a copy of Luke's Gospel. But there are plenty of opportunities to do that here with us over the next few weeks. As I say, we meet every Tuesday lunchtime like this. you come with scepticism, with curiosity, or